This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Another very jam-packed show for you coming up today. At 10:33, former UN Ambassador Susan Rice will be joining us. She also was the National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2017. We're going to talk about what is at stake in this election, which is now 12 days away.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be here very quickly. Susan Rice joining us at 10:33. At 11 o'clock, we'll talk about Brian Stile. He has some thoughts.
Really?
He does, that we wanted to share. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:20. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here to talk all things sports. And as we do every day now, we wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Visit North Korea edition.
I hear it's lovely this time of year.
That's what many people are saying. Calvin is the one who found this one. But if you ever have a thing you feel should not be, send it into Greg and me. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Just a reminder, too, early voting is underway. Go cast your ballot. Yep. If you're not sure what you're going to be doing 12 days from now, you might get sick.
Yep.
You might get a flat tire.
Get called into work.
You never know. So early voting is underway, and we have all kinds of election-related news and so much more on our website. Go to civicmedia.us/vote. civicmedia.us/vote, and that's where you're going to find that great district-by-district breakdown that Dan Schaefer did.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions about who, now that we have new maps, who represents you, take a look at that as well. Go to civicmedia.us/vote. To kick things off, there is some big news out of Waukesha this morning.
Yes, my hometown.
Your hometown. Headline, Waukesha mayor endorses Kamala Harris. Red City Mayor says he plans to vote blue. Sean Riley. I know. Mayor Sean Riley grew up a Republican and voted that way for most of his adult life. He says, quote, "It's difficult. The easy thing to do is just not say anything and cast my vote the way I want. But I think we're at a crossroads now. I feel in my heart that this is something I need to come out and say. I am going to be voting for Vice President Harris to become our next president," unquote.
I got to say congratulations to Mayor Riley.
That takes courage.
That takes courage. I mean, you're listening in Wisconsin, and you know how red Waukesha County is. I mean, I personally believe that it's becoming more and more mixed with blue. I don't want to call it a purple county by any stretch.
But it's getting more so that way.
It's getting more so that way. And this is a matter of... They didn't just wake up one day and be like, you know what? I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. This is a country over party matter. They see us moving in a dangerous direction with Donald Trump. And these GOP leaders, these elected officials, former, retired, all these individuals having from National Security Leaders for America.
Yes.
They're coming forward and they're saying this is... The health of our country, the democracy, is more important than what the GOP, which is just Trump's party anyways now.
Now it is. Yeah. What was once the Republican Party is no more. It is the MAGA party.
Exactly.
And actually, Don Jr. said that on January 6th.
Yeah. Yes.
He said there is no more Republican Party. It is the Trump Republican Party.
Yeah.
Riley says he left the GOP on January 6th when supporters of Donald Trump stormed the Capitol. Now he joins other Republicans in backing Vice President Harris, including former House Republican Liz Cheney, who campaigned with Harris in Brookfield earlier this week, which was a really great hour If you haven't seen it yet, go to YouTube. I'm sure you can find it.
Yes, yes, you can.
And it was moderated by Charlie Sykes, and it was very, very interesting. I think this is a great quote as well. Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming.
Remember him?
Asked about this. Mr. Schimming says, only voters already committed to Kamala Harris care one iota about what a liberal like Sean Riley thinks. He's not a liberal.
So we've had Sean Riley on the show a couple times. He's a very
center.
He's not what I'm saying is, if he has read that, my guess is that Sean Riley did this. He read that and went, huh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, just all of us. And that's an example of this party, the GOP party. You support Dear Leader. The moment you don't, a liberal.
Right.
You're just a liberal. That's it.
That's it. Yes.
You're painted with a blue brush. You're a liberal. That's it. Don't get out of my house.
You can't be. You're not a person of conscience. You're not a person with a disagreement. Now you're a rhino.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what you've done all your life up to this point. As you said, you stop supporting Dear Leader and you're out.
You're done.
You're down.
I will say that I've said it before and I will say it again. I am severely disappointed in Brian Schimming as a leader of the Wisconsin GOP. I didn't think he was going to make it like a centrist type of organization, but I thought he'd at least bring a little bit more, you know, logic to the whole thing. You know, bring it a little more logically to this, a little bit more to the center to get those votes. But he's just as poisoned as the rest of them. Oh, they don't like us? They're liberals.
Right.
They're done. See how your early voting campaign is going there, buddy.
And it's interesting, too, because, you know, there's other things going on in Waukesha County.
Yes.
And as we talk about going to vote, either early or on November 5th, the down-ballot races are just as important.
Correct.
As the two at the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
If we want things to get done in Wisconsin, then it might be time to replace some of the people who have been there for years and years and years and continue to basically do nothing but obstruct any progress.
Yeah. Yeah, with new maps, with new candidates, it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of work can get done in Madison.
For all of us.
For all of us. This is not a right-left thing. This is about quality of life for all of us.
For all of us, yes. You know, they were considering a 0.5% county sales tax in Waukesha.
Yeah.
They had a meeting about it earlier this week, and they kind of have tabled it.
Yep.
Let's not talk about this now. But what I find interesting, and this is from an article in the Waukesha Freeman, Monica Paz, who is the clerk of the Waukesha County Circuit Court, is in support of this 0.5% increase.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she says. Our circuit court operations relied more heavily on county funding in recent years. State funding for our court system has fallen millions of dollars short. This makes it, we cannot cover state mandated costs.
Yeah.
Especially as criminal filings continue to rise. So this gap in money has forced the county to cut positions and reduce service just to balance the budget in the circuit courts. They eliminated 19 full-time spots in just 15 years.
And
so the inaction in Madison, Robin Voss sitting on this $4 billion surplus, this affects red counties too.
Yes.
And you can see that by the number of school referendums that are going to be on the ballot.
Yep. And she's not the only one in Waukesha County. The district attorney, the county sheriff, the county clerk all supported this 0.5 increase. But then as soon as it happens, here comes all of the people from the commerce and the business community saying this is far exceeds the stated shortfall. This is too much. The people can't afford this. Things are tough enough as is. This is a 0.5% increase on the county tax.
0.5. Not 5%.
I'm sorry, but this will not keep you from buying groceries at the end of the day. This will help the people in the county. This will help you and your families.
Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow introduced the ordinance to authorize that 0.5% county sales tax to be added to the existing sales tax and use tax of 5%. It would have kicked in on July 1st of next year. But now, again, they pushed that aside for now. and they say they would like more public input. Which is good.
Yeah,
that's better than just passing it in the middle of the night.
But you know what though, and this is where you want public input, you want to hear from people, but if the health of your county, the health of your city, the health of your people outweighs the don't raise my taxes, then you have to do the good thing for the people. I don't want to see this get voted down because they're afraid of getting thrown into office. This is something that will help everybody. And they're saying, you know, it's a projected $50 to $60 million increase in revenue. Well, then take that money and use it.
Well, restore some of those positions.
Restore those positions. And also use them for the school. Do what you can. Like, use that money properly. It's not like they're all going to go on fishing vacations when they get it.
I don't think they will.
I'm assuming they won't. Honestly, I just said that out loud, and I really hope they don't, because it'll come back to bite me in the tuchus next year.
But I think this is important for folks to understand that state funding, again, this is in Waukesha County, state funding for our court system has fallen millions of dollars short. And there are state mandated things that they have to do, mm-hmm. and they don't have the money for it.
Yes.
So remember that when you go vote early or you cast your ballot on November 5th, think about the money that has been, these literacy programs that have been mandated. Mm-hmm. Now that school is underway, they're still sitting on that money, even though it's been approved. The Joint Finance Committee won't release it.
Yeah.
Same thing in Western Wisconsin. Same thing about the PFAS.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to spend it.
They don't
unless they can give a tax cut, I don't know, to Diane Hendricks.
Well, it's
and a couple other people. Because then the money will really be working for Wisconsin.
Well, not to mention a tax cut. And on top of that, you're also going to talk about they'll make sure that these businesses don't have to admit fault for poisoning the waters. And also not giving Tony Evers a win.
Right. Yeah, can't have that.
No.
Do you live in Waukesha County? How do you feel about the sales tax? 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio, Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We are talking about some breaking news this morning. Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley has announced that he will be voting for Kamala Harris. This election, he says, quote, from Fox News, "I'm going to put up with repercussions for this. There's going to be a lot of people who are not happy with what I say, and there will be a lot of people who are happy with what I have to say. But when you're in this job, that's your daily life anyways." He was reelected in 2022, says he does not plan on running again. His term ends 2026, but he says he made that decision long before he decided to publicly come out for Kamala Harris.
And he's not the only, there's a congressman in Michigan, Fred Upton, who he's stepping down. He's retiring as well. And he's also endorsing Kamala Harris. He's been in the House for 36 years.
Wow.
And you're just seeing more and more of this. And it almost seems like that's a byproduct of endorsing. You either have decided you're not going to run again, or you'll be like, I'm doing this and I'm not running, because you're going to get primary.
Oh, absolutely.
Seen as anti-Trump or a traitor or
rhino.
Some sort of rhino.
You're a rhino.
It's not even that. Like, Brian Schimming called him a liberal. He didn't even get to enjoy rhino status. It was just, I am endorsing Kamala. You are now a liberal. Here is your notebook and your little hat your feelings.
That was a quick switch, yeah. Right? No grace period. No grace period.
And I don't think that people understand the pressure that mid and small town mayors are under. Oh. Those are nonpartisan roles, yet they have to run as a partisan, even though they're not supported by party sometimes. And their job is to work for the people.
All of the people.
Yeah. I remember when I worked for the mayor, I get calls all the time, partisan calls from both sides. This is not about left or right. We have to work with Madison, and we have to work with Washington, D.C. to get the most aid, the most help, the most money from these people to help everybody. That's why you see a mayor shaking hands with a Republican, even though you know he or she is a liberal. That's why they're sitting down with someone you might not like, but that's the person who can get them the resources.
Yeah.
That's who they're going to talk to. And they're doing that to help you.
It's to get things done.
Exactly.
855-752-4842. Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Guys, you see, this is how I see it. And I may be wrong, but with the increase in taxes in Milwaukee, yes, it's not that much, but even you adding it up to the sales taxes, what we already have, it's kind of, if you spend about $150, it's about $18 taxes. So, but it's not a point. When you need money for everybody, you need money for everybody. We have money. People are sitting on this money.
Mm-hmm.
So now we need to go back to people, ask them for more money, and allow that money still sitting there, and then cover up the programs and go back and say, we need, oh, guys, you covered up the programs with the tax money. Good job. We're going to keep those money still in the government and sit on that. Like Jane, you said, we're just going to find somebody influential in our community, in our ways of understanding who needs more money, and give it to them, because the rest of the programs is already covered by tax money. What I think needs to be done is the people have to go on the streets, go to the Madison, to the Capitol, and tell the Republicans that we need the money what you're sitting on, and if you are not releasing the money, we as a people want you to be gone from here.
And that's what we're going to...
our money.
Yep. Thank you, Karina. Appreciate it. And that's what we're going to do November 5th.
Yeah.
That's rather than going and marching on the Capitol, because I don't even know how often Robin's there.
He's relaxing for the rest of the
year.
Well,
that's right. They've been off for months.
Some would say almost a year
Almost a year. Yes. It's a good job if you can get it. So, yeah. Take that to the ballot box.
Yeah, yeah.
Take that with you when you go to either early vote, because early voting is underway in Wisconsin. You can vote through November 3rd, early voting. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Election Day is November 5th.
Yeah.
We have the chance finally to make some changes and get things done in Wisconsin now that we have new maps.
Yes. I'm very, very excited for this.
And I don't think that we would have had the results that we saw getting now Justice Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court, which led to the new maps.
Yeah.
This is what most Wisconsinites want. We want stuff to get done.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing is, if it was full of Republicans who were getting stuff done, it'd be like, all right, they're getting stuff done.
Great.
And if the Democrats were the problem, that would be the problem. That's the thing is, this is about democracy and getting pushing forward and getting it finished. And that goes to show with all the people who didn't run for office after the new maps came out, because they're like, well,
now I have to talk to people.
I got to knock on doors and account for something.
And take criticism. I think I'll do something
else. Back to my practice.
Rob from Fort Edwards. Very quickly, Rob, thank you for joining us. What did you have to say?
Good morning, folks. Now that we're talking about budgetary money stuff, I have my daughter-in-law and my nephew are both hardworking postal workers, and this is below the radar, but there was a big hoopla that they got a 1.3% increase per annum as their proposed new contract offer. And I don't know about you folks, but I know in this world here, 1.3% is they're going to lose 2 or 3% every year based on the way the market's in grocery and all this and that. So if you see your postal worker out there, give them a thumbs up.
Yeah.
And let's get rid of the joy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. From your mouth to God's ear, Rob, that Lewis finds a new line of work.
Find some DeJoy elsewhere.
Nice.
Thank you.
We'll go out on that one. News is coming up next. When we return, we will be joined by Susan Rice. Stay with us. Former UN ambassador, former U.S. National Security Council. We're excited.
We are.
A little bit nervous.
Nerdy.
This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Trashman didn't get my trash today.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text. The number is 855-752-4842. If you're watching in the live stream, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by former UN Ambassador Susan Rice. She was also the U.S. National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2017. Looking forward to talking with her about what's at stake in this election. And I'm also curious to ask her, because obviously she's dealt with many world leaders over the course of her career, and just how dangerous it is to have a United States president who is easily swayed, it seems to be, by flattery.
Yes. Yeah. And
that seems like a vulnerability.
It definitely doesn't seem like something that would make me want to vote for that person.
While we're waiting for Susan Rice, texter Dave from New Berlin texted in, "Good morning, you guys. Sometimes I work. This is the first time I've seen you on YouTube. Did you guys get new studios? What's the story?" I believe Susan Rice is ready to join us.
Yes.
And yes, Dave, we did move. We're in Racine now.
Yeah, we are.
We'll have more details about that in just a little bit. Again, waiting to be joined by former UN Ambassador Susan Rice. She was also the U.S. National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2017. Susan Rice, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you. How are you?
We're wonderful. Thank you. So much to cover. I'm sure you're very, very busy. Tell us, first of all, what is at stake, in your opinion, in this election? What are we looking at as far as the future of America?
Oh, my goodness, Jane. It couldn't be more serious. You know, we often hear We're old enough to remember people saying, oh, this is the most important election of our lifetime, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And everybody rolls their eyes and says, okay, I really, truly believe that's the case this time. And let me explain why. There's so much at stake. There's, you know, the direction of our country in terms of our economy. There's the question of whether we will have preserved and extended our fundamental freedoms, such as the right to determine what happens to our own bodies, the right to love who you love and marry whom you want, the right to vote and to be protected from, you know, extreme gun violence. But there's also our democracy on the ballot. And in Donald Trump, we have someone who has been very explicit that he wants to exercise, in his term, extreme power to terminate the Constitution. This is all his language, to be a dictator from day one. And now, frighteningly, we are hearing him say repeatedly and unabashedly that in his judgment, the greatest threat to the United States is not Russia, not China, but the so-called enemy within. And basically, that's every American who disagrees with him and doesn't subscribe to his extreme MAGA agenda. And what's worse is that he has said repeatedly that his intention is to use the U.S. military against the enemy within. And there's nothing more fascist than that. It's a recipe for civil conflict, turning the military against our population. It's extreme. And we now have a circumstance where, you know, if he were to return to power, people who were law-abiding and believed in the Constitution who served in his first term, people like General Mark Milley, like General Jim Mattis, who was the defense secretary, like General John Kelly, who was his chief of staff, won't be there. Mike Pence won't be there. He'll be surrounded by sycophants and lackeys who will go along with his extreme decisions to violate the rule of law and upend the Constitution. And the worst part is that the Supreme Court has now said that the President of the United States is immune and in effect has impunity from prosecution for acts committed while president. So an unhinged, unstable Donald Trump, who's clearly losing his grip, who's got an extremist approach that is completely anti-democratic and indeed fascist, as John Kelly, his chief of staff, has said, and as Mark Milley and Jim Mattis have said, will be without any constraints around him or from the Supreme Court. And that's a terrifying prospect. And that's why truly, in addition to all that's at stake with respect to the economy and freedoms, which I'd love to talk more about, this is the most consequential election that we're facing. And so we really, truly need to get out and vote like our lives depend on it, because, you know, truly they do.
If you're just joining us, former UN ambassador, also national security advisor, Susan Rice is joining us, and we're talking about what's at stake in this election. Let's go back to the economy for just a second, Susan. Donald Trump has talked about tariffs and how great tariffs are, and we're going to tariff so much that we're just going to be swimming in money that's going to pay for everything. We are actually going to talk to someone tomorrow who is an expert on tariffs. And there also have been numerous, isn't it, like 16 economists have come out and said Donald Trump's plan is going to either push us into a recession or a depression.
Well, absolutely. I mean, his tariffs, which are for him the answer to everything. It's how he proposes to raise revenue and deal with every problem under the sun. It will be, according to all the top economists, extremely inflationary, and will harm the economy and set us back. But, you know, the other thing is Americans are struggling with high costs as it is. You know, we have the strongest economy in the world. We have the lowest inflation of any major economy, but it is still very difficult for folks to, you know, to deal with everyday prices, whether for housing or food or anything else. And Donald Trump's tariff proposal, which is to slap up to 20% tariff on everything coming into the United States, your food, your toys, your electronics, your oil, would amount to an additional $4,000 of costs, a tax in effect, on the average American family every year. Nobody can afford that. So higher inflation, $4,000 tax on the average American family, and destabilizing what is now remarkably, in macroeconomic terms, the strongest economy in the world.
It's really difficult to talk to people about the, because we try to talk about the economy in the broadest terms of saying, look at our inflation, look at the jobs, look at all these points. And it does always come down to the fact that it's about the groceries on the shelves. And that's one thing that, you know, we try to put across too, is that we're looking at like things like price gouging and price hikes, how that's harming the people, and how we believe Kamala Harris is going to try to work to keep that from happening, versus Donald Trump, who doesn't seem to care all that much, just thinks, as we've said, tariffs will do all the work.
Tariffs fix everything. And we...
Right. Tariffs fix... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's like tariffs are the financial Band-Aid for everything. And it's just, you know, and that's all we need to do. And not to mention what that would do to our farmers. You know, we're a big agriculture state in Wisconsin, and our farmers would just be decimated by this.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things wrong with the tariff concept. First of all, it is not something that foreign countries pay. Yeah. This is the biggest fallacy of all.
Right.
Foreign countries do not pay for the tariffs. The American people pay for the tariffs. What happens is a country sells, let's say, you know, bananas to a United States buyer, a U.S. company. The U.S. company has to pay the costs, and they pass that on to the American consumer. So the notion that this is somehow penalizing foreign countries is completely wrong. It is a tax on the American people. So that's the first problem with it. Secondly, it's indiscriminate. You know, we're going to penalize, you know, close friends and allies like Canada to the same extent we punish, you know, a hostile country. And that makes no sense. How do we expect our friends and allies whose partnership we need to deal with the greatest threats we face, whether from Russia or China or Iran, to continue to want to work with us when we are screwing them and their economy for no good reason? I mean, it makes no sense. It's the worst possible policy.
And that's something I wanted to bring up with you as well. It is safe to say you've spent a great deal of your career on the world stage watching all sorts of situations either happen or keeping them from, whether it's war, invasion, just all those worldwide events happening. Have you ever seen anything like what we're about to step into, a situation where we might walk out of NATO, a situation where we're cozying up to dictators all over the world? I mean, I feel like the supporters of Donald Trump do not understand the impact that that will have on America and then the world.
Absolutely. Now, this is deadly serious. You know, this week, Vladimir Putin hosted a summit of the BRICS countries. You know, this is, you know, kind of the rogues gallery, you know, China, Iran, a bunch of countries that are adversaries of the United States. They're coming together and increasingly cooperating in opposition to the United States and our European and Asian allies. You know, the prospect of North Korean troops inside of Ukraine is indicative of this threat. And Donald Trump wants to abandon the greatest alliance the world has ever seen in NATO. NATO has only ever once invoked Article 5, which is the mutual defense treaty, element of the NATO treaty. And that was after 9/11,
right,
when the United States was attacked. And our NATO allies came together in support of us in Afghanistan and in the global war on terror. Now, Donald Trump wants to abandon that and turn all of our relationships into transactions. That's not how we make America strong. America alone is not America strong. And that's what his version of America First amounts to. And the other thing is, he is perversely attracted to and has outsized affection and fealty to dictators.
Yes.
To Xi Jinping, to Vladimir Putin. It's almost as if he wants to join the BRICS and, you know, join with his fascist buddies rather than stand up for the principles and the values that have long defined the United States of America.
Yeah,
it's and like that's frightening.
He has authoritarian envy.
Exactly.
He does.
Exactly.
He does. It's Viktor Orban of Hungary he keeps praising. He said if just this week, North Korea and China necessarily our enemies? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. Are they? We're going to continue our conversation with Susan Rice, former UN ambassador and former U.S. National Security Advisor. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call, text 855-752-4842. Excited to have our guest with us, former UN ambassador and former U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice is here. And we're talking about the importance of this election, whether you're voting early or you're going to vote on November 5th. Absolutely, your vote matters. Every vote counts. Susan, I wanted to talk about your experience dealing with world leaders, not just in the UN, but also your role as National Security Advisor. And I keep thinking back, and maybe a lot of people don't remember this, but early in Donald Trump's first term, he had cabinet members all surrounding him on a big table, and they all had to say what the greatest thing was about working for him. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
Oh my God.
It was excruciating. It was awful. How dangerous is it to have a man who is so susceptible to flattery be in dealings with people like Xi from China and Putin of Russia and Orban of Hungary and Erdogan in Turkey? It just seems like if you tell him he looks really good and he's really smart, he'll let you do whatever you want.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, and that's it's exceedingly dangerous to have an American president, a commander in chief, who can be manipulated and played by foreign adversaries simply by appealing to his vanity and his ego or his pocketbook. And the Chinese and the Russians and the North Koreans, they all figured that out. And, you know, that's why, you know, Ivanka Trump got all these trademarks in China,
yeah,
and why people, you know, fell over themselves to spend money at Trump hotels, because they knew that that was the way to influence Donald Trump. Donald Trump, sadly, cares about one person on this planet, himself, and has never had the U.S. national interest at heart. And that's really incredibly dangerous. So, you know, that's why he's sending love letters back and forth to Kim Jong-un, who's clearly one of the most dangerous and significant adversaries we face. That's why he, you know, chooses Vladimir Putin over our own intelligence agencies. And that's why he says, you know, Xi Jinping is a great man and a great, you know, leader, and governs with an iron fist and says that with admiration and envy.
Yes.
That just puts the United States national security at grave risk when anybody can manipulate him. The other thing you may not remember, do you remember when Donald Trump met one-on-one with Vladimir Putin with no aides in the room?
Yes.
And then destroyed the transcript that the interpreter made? I mean, what the heck is that about? What is he talking about? Why is Donald Trump now, after leaving the presidency, talking to Vladimir Putin on the phone up to 7 times? That's not to say happy birthday. You know, there's something serious they're talking about.
Is it
inviting Vladimir Putin again to interfere in our election on Donald Trump's behalf? Is it cutting some back to side deal on Ukraine? Like, what is it? This is terrifying, and it's dangerous. And that's one of the many reasons why, you know, we can't afford Donald Trump as our commander in chief. And it's why, you know, you talked about the folks sitting around the cabinet room table, place I've been many times, you know, all expressing their fealty and affection for Donald Trump. And it's like some kind of, you know, communist parody. And but now, you know, let's look at where things are after 4 years of Donald Trump. His own vice president, two of his defense secretaries, two of his national security advisors, one of his secretaries of state, his White House chief of staff, John Kelly, who just spoke out again this week, all clearly say, and his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, that Donald Trump is unfit to serve as president. He is a danger to the United States. And now we're hearing in very plain terms that they consider him to be fascist to the core. So these are the people who, after having, you know, to kiss the ring around the table in the cabinet room, have seen enough to say, this is not just crazy, it's, you know, it's very, very dangerous. And they are coming out to say, we cannot put him back in the Oval Office.
Thank you so much, Susan Rice. We were talking about this before you joined us as well. Unfortunately, now all those people, there's no grace period. Once you come out against Donald Trump, you're not even a rhino anymore. You're automatically a liberal. That's just where.
No, you're an enemy of the people.
Yeah, you're an enemy of the people.
And he's going to use revenge and retribution in the military against anybody who disagrees with him. That's what's at stake.
Go vote. Your vote matters. Every single vote matters. Susan Rice was the ambassador to the UN and also served as the U.S. National Security Advisor. Susan, it has been such an honor having you on the show. Thank you so very much for your time.
Great to be with you. Get out and vote. Thanks a lot.
Get out and vote. Early voting underway in Wisconsin. News is coming up next. When we return, House Republican Brian Steil from Wisconsin's first has thoughts about billionaires. We'll share those with you when we get back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. I saw you hiding.
What you want to be? I go back so far, I'm in front of me. It doesn't matter what they say, they're giving the game away. Hey, hey, I can see the world tonight. Look into the future.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.